B-Pod Studios.
Farsetti in the morning.
All right, let's go to Atlanta. We'll get to Breon and Joe on the phones in a minute, but I got to talk to an old friend. John Kincaid joins us now. Johnny, how you doing?
I am your coach still today.
So I got to call you coach?
Don't even try to pull this crap of friend stuff. I mean, remember, it's friend second, coach first. I mean, come on now.
Dude,
I am staring out right now out of our boardroom here at 680 The Fan Atlanta, and we are right at Truist Park. And I found a perch yesterday where I was able to get a little better view from our parking deck of what's going on with the simulated games and stuff like that. I am looking out at a ballpark, and sports is right around the corner, hopefully, if everything goes well. This is great.
Yeah, John, it's just 15 days to baseball, a couple of weeks, right? Been 119
Absolutely.
Days since we've had sports. It's 22 days to the NHL and the NBA in August and training camp. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's going to be a different time content-wise because it has been a four-month struggle. And I find the struggle being fighting the people who are, and I don't want to use the term, I've seen some people use the term people rooting for the virus. I don't think anyone is rooting for the virus, but I think there's a lot of people in our industry who are rooting to be right. They've been predicting Armageddon. They've been thinking Armageddon. They've been believing Armageddon, and then they keep doubling down on it, because they just don't want it to happen. Like Buster Olney, and I love Buster, and him and I got into it already over this. 5% chance the baseball season starts, 0% chance it ends. And I'm like, Buster, how the hell do you say that?
Yeah, you just don't know.
What are you basing that on? Oh, well, everybody's allowed to have an opinion. I said, that's fine. I said, but that opinion's based on nothing.
It's based on fear.
That opinion is based on absolutely nothing. And I think fear sells. It does.
Clearly.
I mean, we can see on the
clearly
media, whether you're depending on what side of the divide you're on, they're all still selling, ginning it up all the time. You have to constantly listen. I can tell you this. Remember Clemson had 32 players test positive?
Yep.
Remember that story? Oh, yeah, and everything. I said, how come the follow-up story is not being written? Like, how many of those players ended up in the hospital? How many of those players are not healthy again? How many players were asymptomatic?
Well, you know, if it bleeds, it leads, John. That's the age-old thing.
And that's where we're at. And
yep.
That's what we're dealing with. And I said, that's why I so want to get back to games. I know the Union's playing, right?
Yeah, they're playing right now, yes.
Right now.
Scoreless.
People are excited about that.
In the 60th minute.
Atlanta loves, Atlanta United is huge here. So people are really into to Atlanta United. So, people are excited about that, being able to see some, soccer again and everything. But it's all about the Braves. It's all about the Falcons. It's more importantly, it's all about college football too.
Well,
and getting back. So,
yeah, I mean, and you saw what the Ivy League did. But I want to get to,
yeah.
I brought up your Facebook post because that's why I wanted to get you on. You and I are on slightly
sure.
different sides of this, although I agree with some of what you said. But the one thing that
right.
really caught my eye, John, was the fact that you said you have to respect or even applaud these players, for deciding not to play in 2020. I'm not saying you have to applaud them, but I do have to respect their decision not to play, because if they don't want to play for whatever reason, if they got FU money, good on them, right? If they don't want to play because, like in the NBA or NHL, they've already gotten 85% of their pay this year and they don't want to weigh that risk, I'm fine with it. I'm not applauding them. You don't want to play? Don't play. But I want the leagues have to move forward. You know, but you're pretty turned off by this.
I get you on that. Yeah, but no, I'm not turned off on the point that I agree with you 100%, and I did say it in my missive there, that I absolutely understand everybody has the right to do whatever they want to do. But I saw on literal Chiron, you know, on the TV screens, Brave Major League Baseball players applaud, and literally guys who were analyzing the game saying, you have to applaud the decision that David Price made. I'm like, that is crap. I don't have to applaud it. I don't even have to respect the decision he made. I have to defend his right to make it. He absolutely has the right to make it. But guess what? While David Price and everybody else in Major League Baseball or the NFL or whatever has been sheltering in place in their mansions, The rest of the tens of millions of Americans have gone to work this entire time. So when they want steak, when they want chicken, when they want food delivered, when they want their godforsaken toilet paper, they don't realize that somebody is in the plant making the toilet paper, someone is in the plant packing the toilet paper, then they stack the truck, then the truck gets delivered to your store, then you go to your Wegmans.
All with risk.
Pick it up, and there's somebody who checks out. So, and all those people went to work every damn day.
Yeah, look, I think that
they came back, but they came back to their, but Mert, they came back to their children and their families every single day.
Yep, and without and the same protocols of safety.
I keep hearing about, they don't want to bring something home to their families. For God's sake, I worked the entire pandemic. Local show, network show, podcast, worked every day. Came to the studios every single day. My wife and daughter were at home most of the time. We were smart. We took precautions. We did what we were asked to do. If you're asked to wear a mask, we tried to do that. We tried to make sure we were being cleanly and doing all the things you have to do. I mean, to me, it's ridiculous when they start invoking their kids. I'm like, are you kidding me?
Well, look, that's a right to invoke the kids. But what I was hoping that would come out of this pandemic the most would be a little thing we call perspective, right? And
and
that hasn't happened because, like you said, they're applauding guys like Price or whoever decides to opt out. I'm not applauding anybody. It's their look. If you don't want to play, then don't play. I got to just put you aside because you're not going to play right now, and that's fine. And look, that could affect certain teams or certain leagues. We watch these games to watch the best players, right? We're not watching.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And that's part of it. And what they earn goes into that decision making for sure. Like a lot of these players, you know, they'll have a career of 2 or 3 years. They got to capitalize now, and that goes into their decision. And I know that if I was in this decision, whether I was a $10 million player or a minimum salary $700,000 player, I would play. That's me, and that's where I am with this virus. I'm not going to applaud them for it, but I do have to respect it is what I'm saying. And you're absolutely right about the doom and gloomers.
I respect the right that they have to make the decision, but here's what I say. What if a third of our nurses in America decided it's not worth risking my life to go to work?
Yes, some did.
A third of our police, a third of our doctors, a third of our things. We would have been up the creek without a paddle.
Yeah.
And instead, people continued. If our stores weren't, when people couldn't get toilet paper, I saw grown men and women freaking out on social media. And I'm like, okay, I got to remember that around 10.8% of Americans are on Twitter. I always have to remind myself of that because it does seem like it's a echo chamber of nonsense.
Yeah.
But the idea, Mert, that we these guys, they're very brave to make a decision. Yeah, David Price, very brave to make a decision. Yeah, because he's got FDU money, as you say. He's got over $200 million. Like he's never going to worry about anything again. The people who have to worry about that stuff have had to go to work and have had to get back to work, and that's been part of the problem.
Yeah, I agree, and I don't get the notion either. I can't stand the doom and gloomers of, they're just going to start shut down. It's like, dude, stop raining on everything. Can we have a little 2020 has sucked. I'd like to put it in one of those, those big barrels like in South Philly and light it on fire, you know?
Yeah, I mean, the one thing I don't understand is this. Mert, you and I open up a steakhouse down there in Old City. And we open up Mert and Kincaid's Steakhouse. And we talk about, hey, the new steakhouse is opening up on your show and my show. And we're talking about it. And then I say, on my show today, I'm going to lead with eating steak. Yeah, it raises your risk of heart disease.
Yeah.
You're probably going to have a stroke. You may get cancer from it for the red meat. Why would you do? We are in the business. The people in the sports media are in the business of, hopefully you don't have a medical degree. We don't know. And again, I don't know if we're going to play a full NFL season.
Yep.
I don't know if we're going to play college football or NBA or whatever.
I hope they do.
You know this. I am sure as hell not going to go on the radio every day and tell my audience, nothing but gloom and doom here. I mean, I read this report on Facebook and I'm done. I think it's done. I don't think there's any chance. To me, that why would you do that? I would turn people off. I would turn off their shows, turn off their, because I have no idea what
it's miserableness. It's just miserable, you know, I choose not to live in that space. You and I agree. Let me ask you on Deshaun here real quick. Because what happened with Deshaun and I had a caller on earlier in the show, and everybody wants to cite Riley Cooper 7 years ago and the lack of discipline that he got. To me, I live by a simple rule, John. I mentioned it right off the hop. Never quote Hitler. It's real simple. I don't care how educated you are, ignorant, anything. Never quote Hitler. And if you don't know that, then you can't be a part of my community.
I'll take it. I'll take it further. And it's, you know, I do not believe you are right now, while we're trying to build unity and community and trying to have conversations where we're listening to each other. And Shaq and I talked about it yesterday when we taped this week's podcast, that, don't be quoting Farrakhan to me either.
Yeah.
No, I mean, don't
it's an
quote
anti-Semite.
Farrakhan, don't quote Hitler. Like, just is, I cannot take, and what I'm looking for is, and I great, and L Duncan at SportsCenter, a longtime friend, and she was a radio host here in Atlanta on music radio long before she did what she does now on SportsCenter. Elle yesterday brave enough on the ESPN platform to say, if you're going to speak out against racism and you've got nothing to say about DeSean Jackson and you've got nothing to say about Steven Jackson's comments, then you're defeating your own purpose, because you're saying racism only matters selectively.
Yeah.
And look, I think we've had a lot of, I honestly, I'm sure you guys have up at home. I'm sure you guys have had a lot of great conversations. I feel like it. I feel like we've had some positive conversations, and I know I've learned some stuff.
Yep, absolutely.
I know I've learned stuff during this.
Yep.
But the idea that somebody would then be silent, I'm waiting for Greg Popovich, and then Coach Woke, Steve Kerr. I'm figuring they would have something to say about anti-Semitism, but they're silent, much like they were on Hong Kong. They pick and they choose to where they want to lecture and where they want to have strong opinions, and I can't stand it.
Yeah, and if you want my respect, then you have to speak on all of it. And I don't like the fact that
Absolutely.
This just came out, that DeSean liked an Instagram post from a doctor, and at the end of it he says, I pray for the day black men stop having to apologize for what we say when others don't even have to apologize for what they've done. This is after multiple apologies. He doesn't get it, does he?
No, he doesn't get it. He doesn't get it. And Shaq had a strong message for it, that too, as far as the idea that, and we've talked about it, is that the one thing Martin Luther King never did was tell you to shut up, shut the hell up and listen. That was never part of his message. He wanted to have dialogue. He wanted to have, it wasn't, now you sit down, shut up and listen to me speak. He wanted to engage. He wanted to have those kind of difficult conversations.
Yeah.
And we need those. We need those difficult conversations more than ever, but they have to be conversations. They can't just be selective.
Yeah, it can't be one-sided. You're so right. Hey, John, I appreciate it, man. Yeah, you know, we see the thing about players a little bit different, but in essence, it's kind of very similar.
Yeah. We always saw the world a little bit differently. We butted heads a few times.
Yeah.
When you were a youth, you were hot-headed, you were talented,
no.
You were bright.
Those three words have never been used for me. Maybe hot-headed.
Oh, you were so lucky there wasn't social media back then. Oh, man.
You're right about that.
What a trouble.
John, where can we get the Shaqcast? iTunes?
Oh, the Shaqcast, you can get it at Podcast One. You can get it at iTunes Podcast. You can get it anywhere. Just put in Shaq Podcast. It's stupid. It is not a sports it is a sports podcast, but it really isn't.
It's a life podcast.
70% of what we talk about. It's a very light. We do comedy. We do a lot of comedy, but we do have a lot of A-listers come on by and hang out with us, which is a lot of fun.
Yeah, well, it's good stuff. That's good stuff, and
all right, brother.
I'm glad it's working out. Thanks, brother. I appreciate it. John Kincaid.
Say hello to everybody back home.
Will do. John Kincaid, thanks for joining us at Atlanta. I've known John for a long time, as you heard.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.